Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Amy Russell. I'm the Medical Director for Mission Health Partners, and we are here today to talk about new treatments for chronic subdural hematoma. And I'm here today with Dr. Jonas Goldstein. He is a neurointerventionalist, and I'm going to give him a moment just to introduce himself.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate that. Hey, everybody. Hope everyone's doing okay in these strange times. I specialize in neurointerventional surgery. I'm part of the team at ARA. Within the last year or so, has been working very closely with our neurosurgical and neurology and trauma surgical associates with a new method of treating chronic subdural hematomas. And it's really exciting because it's a technique that we have used for years, decades actually, in treating meningiomas prior to surgery, so that we embolize them and they leave us with surgery. And as you'll hear, it's a very exciting technique to hit the pathophysiology etiology of these chronic subdurals, and not only maybe help avoid surgery altogether, but post-surgical patients decrease rate of recurrence, and also for preoperative management to help have a smoother surgery.
Great, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about current treatment of subdural hematomas and how this has the opportunity to improve that?
Great question, Amy. So just off the bat, there's acute subdural hematomas and what we're calling chronic subdural hematomas. We are not talking about the acute subdural hematomas. We are going to be talking about the chronic subdural hematomas. So chronic subdural hematomas, why do they occur? If someone has some bleeding in the subdural space at some time, or fluid accumulates for whatever reason, post-traumatic or not, your body responds like it responds to anything else, and there's an inflammatory response. And what we have found, what has been found, is that membranes form around this fluid collection as we try to heal it. And these membranes have a vasculature that is not mature, basically leaky capillaries. And over time, in some patients, there's a balance between absorption of this fluid and production of fluid. And the fluid could be a proteinaceous exudate, or it could be some other blood products. And in some cases, you can have a favorable balance, so where you're absorbing it quicker than you can produce it. But in other patients, that is not the case, and you get these fluid collections in the side of the brain. When they get large enough, they can press down on the brain and cause symptoms. This is also, a big risk in people who are on anticoagulation. If you have some minor trauma, you can then start bleeding into these collections, and it could be catastrophic at some points. So this is a disease process that's very, very, very common, especially in the elderly population. And we're real excited to start to offer something as an adjunctive treatment. As of now, there's been observation, and if it gets to the point where there's pressure on the brain, either burr hole and drainage, or craniotomy and drainage for these patients. And those are very invasive procedures.
Great. So as you know, Mission Health Partners' focus is on value-based care, which means we're focused on improving quality and at the same time making sure that we're managing costs. How does this particular procedure impact that value, the quality of care and the cost of care?
Right, so quality we can go with, and then we'll go with value, which, and they're very related. But if you can avoid an open neurosurgical procedure with a minimally invasive procedure, we do under conscious sedation. Usually takes anywhere from 1 to 2 hours max. And no stitches. Recovery time is much different than having an open neurosurgical procedure. Quality right there, as far as morbidity, is improved. Also for value, the cost of going in for an open surgical procedure with general anesthesia versus a procedure that we're able to do in the angiography suite, that also. What I see also as a big plus for this is on the patients where they're not quite surgical candidates, but we're following them. And how do we follow them? We get scans, CT scans. And it could be every couple of weeks, or something happens and they fall, we get another one just to make sure, or it's this constant unknown of, should we scan them again? Is it getting bigger? Oh, I've got a new headache today. You know, it's very, these are very difficult patients to follow to figure out what to do. Also, in some patients where they are followed and the collections get smaller, the cause of these collections is still there. So we just had a patient I was telling you recently that had had these kind of collections on both sides of their brain and several years ago, and they resolved. Fast forward to a couple months ago, having some headaches, they were back. And they were thinking about having this procedure or not, and while they were waiting for that, the questions got big enough to where they were starting to have problems speaking, and so one of our neurosurgeons placed a burr hole and drained the fluid out, and then we were able to then perform the procedure, which we'll talk about, to help prevent them from happening again. So there's an avoidance of surgery, prevention from reaccumulating, and also not only avoiding surgery, but post-surgery to make it so they don't come back again.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the procedure itself.
Right. So good question. So this is a procedure that's performed through a catheter, which we access the vascular system, usually a transfemoral approach, similar to when you get a diagnostic angiogram. And we use fluoroscopic or x-ray guidance to guide our materials up into the neck region, and then we take diagnostic pictures first to make sure it's something that's safe to do. Once we determine that, we actually select the blood vessels that go to these membranes, and we get to a safe position, and we actually block them off like pruning a tree. We inject an agent that we float out there, and it blocks off the distal branches. Again, does not take that long, and it's done under a conscious sedation. When we're done, and from the single approach, we can do both sides. So come back down from, say, the right side, and then catheterize the left side. So through one access point, we can get both sides. We usually follow patients within 2 to 4 weeks with a CT scan to make sure it's going in the right direction. You know, nothing's 100%, but this has been shown, you know, over 90% that we're able to shrink these and, you know, to where they're not causing symptoms or to where they're gone. We don't have many, many year follow-up, but this is really a relatively new type of adjunctive procedure. The procedure itself is not new, but the use of it is new.
Right. So tell us a little bit about how this is being used at Mission Hospital now, the current use of it, and what you imagine could be different through educating the physicians
right,
in our network.
Right. So like anything else, one, you know, a change in your care pathway, even if it's pretty clear that it's better, takes time and education because everyone's busy. I work very close with our neurosurgical team at Carolina Spine, great group of neurosurgeons, and you know, all these patients, you know, case by case basis, we all talk with them. Worked with neurosurgery and mostly neurology, and we brought in some trauma surgery, but not as much formal education yet. But through education and showing the cases that we've been doing and the results, because we follow the patients, we in our neurointerventional service, we've had a clinic for 20 years, and we follow all our patients that we treat. And the results have just been astonishing. So nothing speaks better than a picture. So I'll run into my surgical colleagues and show them, hey, this case that you sent me, here's the picture before, here being caught 4 weeks or 8 weeks out, that look, it's gone. And they're very happy because some these patients can be very difficult and surgery can be really tough on them. I was speaking with one of our neurosurgeons just before we started here, and we did one case, he wasn't sure he was gonna take the surgery. We embolized it and he decided maybe he needs to take some of that fluid off. And the experience in the OR suite, he said, was just so much better. It was a dry surgical field. He was able to irrigate surgery very quick. So this could be an adjunct, you know, for even with patients who need the surgery to take the fluid off in the acute phase to make the surgery better, and then the reaccumulation rate, you know, minimize that.
Right. So do internal medicine physicians in the community or family physicians in the community come across this where they would need to communicate directly with your team?
Right. So I think there's a big opportunity there. These patients, when they get followed for, if they have surgery or even non-surgical management, you know, the primary doc is integral in following these patients and sees these patients. These are their patients. And I think we need to do more educating, and again, it will go on a case-by-case basis to start, but we will see these patients, we see them in our clinic, and we schedule a procedure, we do the procedure and follow them up and work as a team with them. We've been doing that with neurosurgery right now, and I think, you know, neurosurgery is very busy, and if they can not be involved in a patient where they don't have to do surgery, I think that would be helpful for our resources. And so I think we're a good bridge between, you know, a adjunctive, minimally invasive approach to where the patients need an open surgical approach and to primary care.
Great. Anything else you want to share with the network before we wrap this up?
I appreciate that. I think our team feels lucky to be in this great community and working with these patients, and we are very available for consultations and any questions regarding this, and we do a lot of other things that I think if we were able to educate and market a little bit better, make sure that people are aware that it's offered here, I think it will help out the patients. So please get in touch with us. There is a number, 213-9500, that's called RadReach. That's a general number. They are a team that we employ that make it easy for you. One number, if you have a question, if you call them, they will get you to us no matter where we are.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you.